Good morning, people of God.
Good morning.
The word of God says that we do not battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers in the heavenlies. It's important for God's people to know that Jesus is the head over all rule and authority. By his death on the cross, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and triumphed over them. They are no match for the Son of God. Jesus has given us a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. And this is how we fight our battles.
This is how I fight my battles.
Good to be surrounded by God.
Yeah.
Our enemies don't stand a chance against the Son of God. Today's responsive reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 52. 13 and 53:12.
52:13 through 53:12.
All right. 52:13 through 53:12. All right. Bless God.
Yeah.
See, my servant will prosper. He will be highly exalted. But many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human, and from his presence, one would scarcely know he was a man. And he will startle many nations. Kings will stand speechless in his presence, for they will see what they had not been told. They will understand what they had not heard about.
Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way.
He was despised, and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins.
But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all.
He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream, but he was struck down for the rebellion of many people.
He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands.
Together,
when he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels.
Amen. And may the Lord add a blessing to the readers, that's to you, hearers, that's to you,
yes,
and doers, that's what you should be doing.
You're right.
To his great word.
Amen.
Because his word is the blessing. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for canceling the sin debt that stood against us and condemned us. You've taken it away and nailed it to the cross. You died for our guilt and gave us freedom. And we are so grateful, Lord. We stand before you today, thanking you and praising you, not just for who you are, but what you did for us. I couldn't even imagine the anguish, the pain. You did it anyway. And we're so grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Righteousness. We should be celebrating that our God is Lord of all.
Yes.
Not only is Jesus Lord of all, he is good and his mercies endure forever.
Yes.
and all the time, you are good.
Good all the time.
All the time.
See, we have such a poor definition of the word good. Because we think of good like popsicles, popcorn. That's great for me. So that's our level of good. But we know popsicles are bad for kids' teeth, diabetes, and all kinds of stuff. There's an element of bad in it. And even popcorn for people that have certain conditions is not good. But there is nothing not good about our God. There is, the Bible says, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. There's no malintent. There's no hidden agenda. There's no gonna come behind you and stab you in the back or put you down. He's good. So when we sing in every high and stormy gale, that means there's a fierce storm in our life. We can still say that God is good. Because as we all are sitting here, a year ago, we weren't sitting in this building. We were sitting in our homes wondering when the storms would end. Because we went from the year, I call it 2021, was 1 year as far as I was concerned. Because it just went from one bad thing into another, and it just kept getting worse. And even when you could breathe. But in the midst of it, God is still good. So when we talk about who you are, Lord, when we say, Lord, you are good because of who you are, some of us needed the Lord to be our peace, and he was. Some of us needed him to be our provider, and he was. Some of us needed him to be our healer. Some of us just needed him to be there. And I say was because that's just my term, because we're talking about and going to talk to the eternal isness, meaning he always is. Healer, deliverer, peace, faithful, because he's our God. And we are the representatives of that God, of his goodness, of his mercy. So right now, as we go to the throne, this who we get to come before, the one who knows, the one who wants to hear, but more importantly, the one who cares and is good. Let us pray. Father, we come boldly to your throne, as the scripture tells us. Come boldly to the throne of grace. And we know we can only come boldly to the throne of grace because we have been washed in the blood of Jesus. We have been made right with you through his sacrifice, through his defeating of every enemy that we have, through his total commitment to your will that took him to the cross for us, the rebels, for us, the sinners, for us, the lost ones. And because of him, we are now found. We have a Father who loves us, who hears us, and we have the Holy Spirit in us to lead us, to guide us, and to teach us. So we just say thank you right now. We can't say thank you enough for what you've done and what you are doing and what you're going to do. Because even in the midst of all that we see, snow and wind, war and famine, gas prices, food prices, everything that looks like it's upside down. We thank you because we live in a kingdom that has been made right side up because of Jesus. Right now. And we can live in that right side upness if we walk in him. We thank you because when the prices go up, for somehow, some way, you seem to provide for our finances to go up. When the winds blow, you have promised that we need shelter and you have kept us, Lord. And for those that are without shelter saying, well, what about me? Lord, you said all those who, if you don't have what you need, is because you're not prioritizing my kingdom. You're not coming to me for it. You're running everywhere. But seek first my kingdom and my righteousness and your food, your shelter, your love, whatever you need will be given to you. So, Lord, we're praying for those who are without today that they will realize because they have the creator of all things, they have everything they need. I pray they come to you. They run boldly. And then there are people, Lord, who are listening who don't know how to even approach your throne because we confuse things so horribly down here. But that thief on the cross just said, remember me, Jesus. Some people just said, Lord, help. Acknowledging you, Jesus, and what you've done for us grants us access. Believing in your sacrifice has given us access to the one who provides all our needs. So we pray for to you, God of all comfort, that you comfort those where they are. Whether they be in grief right now, a mourning, pray they enter into mourning and move through and watch what you do in those situations. Because you know all about mourning and grief. Because you bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Lord, we pray for those who are sick, knowing that one woman just touched the hem of your garment and believed that she was made whole. How much more are you able to do? And for living in this crazy world that we live in, you said it would be like this. Matter of fact, Jesus, it was like this when you walked the earth. All kinds of madness, governments out of control, people oppressing other people. But you showed us how to do the will of the Father. So I pray for all of those who are here today, presenting themselves to worship you, that they don't just worship you with words and in songs, but as your word said, in spirit and in truth. That they worship you for who you are, as who you are, and live your life through them. We praise you. We thank you. We ask that you just continue to inhabit this service. Speak through your servants to our ears, to our hearts, so that we can respond to the spirit that is in us and do what you say do. Give us clear understanding. Give him clarity of speech. Tear down all hindrances that keep us from getting what we came here to get. A word from you. A word in season for right now. And we're careful to praise you and give you and you alone the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
My heart and sing a song. worship team.
And
because of who God is, I kind of feel a little bit like Crystal. Crystal says she gets saved every week. When you hear a song like that, you just, I guess it's like a rededication. That's really what Sunday is all about, right? We got to remember who God is. Time changes, God doesn't. We react to what we see, like the snow and the time, but God acts. He doesn't react. He acts in that which we don't see. To God be the glory. Yes. Good morning, fellow saints.
Good morning.
Pastor O is going to start a new sermon series in the book of James, part one. And, you know, he seems to have been really excited about this. I don't know if you guys been listening. So I can't wait to hear what he's going to say about these particular passages. So he's asked me to read today James chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. And then also in chapter 1, I'll be reading verses 22 to 25. And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It is written, "This letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. Greetings, dear brothers and sisters. When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do." Verse 20 to 25. "Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. All I see with my natural eyes now are blessed people." As the little kids say, "I spy blessed people." That's not written on my paper. "And for those listening in by Blog Talk, you are truly blessed. It is no accident that you came to listen to this message funneled through Runner for Christ Ministries. God is blessing you in a special way for tuning in. So this morning, we are blessed to hear a message from the book of James delivered by God's most trusted servant. Pastor O has demonstrated himself as one reflective of these words from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. He is a man approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, not trying to please man, but God who tests our hearts. I am sure that like me, you have seen this new fire fueling his sermons. It's as if he speaks to us with a sense of urgency. He has already started his engine and is on the starting line. See him back there revving his engine? Well, let's let him go. Repeat this after me. Pastor O, break it down for us.
Amen. She started it. Amen. Woo, good morning, everybody. Thank you, Holly. I appreciate you. Amen. That's right. Amen. I need y'all to pray for me. They didn't open the drag strip back up. Naomi, they closed it and they opened it back up. Sold my race truck. Amen. Oh. Well, I had it halfway, right? Anyway. Oh, I said, oh. Anyway, I was at the jazz trip. Amen. I need to buy a new race car, but my wife is like, you know, she don't want to buy a race car. She said gas price is too high. So I need y'all to pray for me. Those of you who need prayer, pray for me. Amen. Amen. I need Marilyn to go and talk her husband into giving me the road run. Amen. Prayer for me. These are the important things of life. This is what we come here for, right? Praise the Lord. Janet just said we need to pray. Tony Evans said we need to pray. Here's what you want to pray for. I need a new race car. Praise the Lord. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, he need a new race car. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Thank you, Father, for this day. Lord, you got real big jokes. Just before we go into spring and warm weather, you throw us a snowstorm. Not even a storm, but you know how we are, Jesus. We Christians, we get wet, we melt. So excuse us if we ain't here this morning. And thank you for traveling grace. So we got here safely. We thank you for that. But now, Father, we are all gathered here. The praise team have warmed us up. We are ready for the word, Lord. Give us your word, especially in these days and times in which we live when so much is going on. And Father, sometimes it gets hard to see you. Help us to see you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me, say, Lord, bless these ears.
Lord, bless these ears.
And those ears.
And those ears.
They hear your word today.
They hear your word today.
And bless my heart.
And bless my heart.
That it receives it.
And bless my life.
So I can live it.
In
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Knowing the word and living the word. Amen. Two different things. Yeah, we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk basically about two things. I thank God for the Bible on tape. I thank God for the Bible on tape. Why do I thank God for the Bible on tape? Because I can read a whole book and memorize it in one shot. Okay, 100 shots. Amen. But on that 101, it's up in here. Yeah, like my uncle said, he called me Rubberhead. You know why he called me that, Colonel? See, everything I say, you bounce right off. Amen. So the first 100 times it bounced off, Cliff. But then on that 101 time, I had my guard down and the word got into my head. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But James is an awesome book. It's written by Jesus' brother. Amen. And what I love about it, how he calls himself a slave of God, right? And a servant of his Lord, Jesus Christ. But June, stand up and read Mark 3:21. This is what they thought about Jesus before they changed came. I think it's Mark 3:21. Now, they thought Jesus had to lost his mind. At least they say he was going beside himself. We need to go get him. But this is what they thought about. This is James. I want you to see this. This is James before his change came. Mark. Okay, now go read John chapter 7. I think it's 3 through 5. If it ain't, Carmen put that in my head, and that's why it's wrong. But if it is, then thank you, praise Jesus. Amen.
7, 3 through 5.
7, 3 through 5. I think that's it. This is Jesus' brothers before the chains came. How you feel about Jesus before your chains came? Ooh, ah, yeah.
And Jesus' brother said to him, leave here and go to Judea where your followers can see your miracles.
Read the next line.
You can't become famous if you hide like this. If you can do such wonderful things, show yourself to the world. For even his brothers didn't believe in him.
Amen. And James was one of them. How many of y'all know Jesus had how many brothers? Four. James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, right? Or Jude. Who also wrote what? Book Jude. Amen. Jesus also had sisters. So we know it was four boys plus Jesus, right? Five. Amen. And he had sisters. But they didn't believe in him. They all came collectively together in Mark 3 and 21 and said, he done lost his mind, mother. They say he done lost his mind. Go get your brother. He done went crazy. Did Mary share with his brothers and sisters the circumstances surrounding his birth? Did they know that Jesus didn't come from Joseph? Amen. So they might have felt like he was talking a little bit, amen, too much. And they was like, dude, we sat under the same scribe together. We learned how to do the first five books of Moses. Then we talked about the writings. And then we learned how the Mishnah Talmud worked, the oral tradition. We talked about how to work these things out in difficult situations, make God's word apply. We went to the same school. We had the same daddy. Yeah, you was older than us, taught us how to do the carpentry work. But Jesus, you ate the same bowl of cereal we ate. You went to the same school we went to. You walked the same dusty hills on nasty Nazareth like we be. And now you're talking about you come from where? You come from mom and dad, just like the rest of us. You ain't no different. So Jesus' brothers had a problem with him. Okay? And that is why when you read in James' book, amen, slave of God. Slave of God. In other words, he used that word intentionally to let you know I have no rights over my life. I am a willing, not chattel slave. I have rights, but I've made myself a slave of God. Amen. That's the difference between chattel slavery and indentured servitude, right? Chattel slavery is when you have no rights over your life at all. Somebody else has that. Some other human being has that. But James says he was a willing slave of God. That's how he reckoned himself. In his personal life, he was a slave of God. In his family life, slave of God. Church and civic life, slave of God. That covered, encompassed all of his life. His goal was to bring his whole life under the comprehensive will of God. That was his goal. And then he says, the servant of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He didn't say my big brother. Remember, when James is writing this letter, he has no idea it's going to become one of the 66 books of the Bible. He has no idea it will become one of the 27 documents we call the New Testament. He's writing to Jews who have become Christians, but they don't live in Israel. They live in the Roman provinces where Paul has gone and preached the word. The book is written about AD 49, and it happens before the Apostolic Council that happened in Acts chapter 15 when they decided how we are made right with God. You know, we just finished the book of Galatians. That was the whole argument, right? How we're made right with God. Paul introduced himself to them in chapter 1. In chapter 2, he continues his introduction and his reasons for meeting with those who were apostles before he was. And then in chapter 3, he begins his argument in favor of Jesus, believing in him being the Christ. And in chapter 4, he continues that. And in chapter 5, the first part, he continues it. Then in the latter part, he talks about the divine exchange. I used to be that. All that stuff that's listed there, but now I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to produce the fruits of the Spirit in me. And then in chapter 6, he talks about how we remain intact with one another because none of us are perfect. And sooner or later, we're going to catch you slipping. But when we catch you slipping, we should restore you how? Gently. Restore you gently. Those two things. And when I see Cliff slipping, when I catch him slipping, or Cliff, he catch me slipping, he don't run up on me talking about, you're pastor, why you acting like that? Okay? You're Christian, why you? No, I go up to him, I'm thinking, how do I restore Cliff back to the faith? Okay? And I'm going to do that gently so he don't get mad at me. Because see, if you go up to people talking all Christian-y, they're going to get mad at you. Because you know what they're going to tell you? You ain't no holier than I am. I remember when. And you got to win. All of us got to win. Amen? All of us got to back. Some of us got to right now. But amen? We got to right now. So James writes his book at the same time that Paul is writing his book. Paul is writing to a Gentile audience to keep them in faith, in simple faith in Jesus Christ. But James is writing to a Jewish audience to teach them how to live the Christian life without being hypocritical about it. You can't call yourself a Christian and be hating people. Because after we get through with James' book, that's mostly what it's about. It's about living the life. Amen? So James is going to be on a little bit different bit than Peter. Paul's thing was to make sure they know that simple faith in Christ saves you. And yes, there's a divine exchange going on. All of your filth and nasty stuff got to go, and Jesus is going to fill you up with some new stuff. He's going to replace all of your nasty with, amen, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, kindness, meekness, right? The Bible says there's no law written against that kind of stuff. But all that stuff, forward to that, there is a law about that stuff. Amen? So James is writing his book about AD 49, the same time Paul is writing his book. Now, James can be more effective with the Jews than Paul. Even though Paul says he's of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised on the eighth day, sat at the feet of Gamaliel, got more credentials than everybody who was accusing him. He says that he still has no real credibility with the Jews. So James, the Lord calls James to write at the same time that Paul is writing. You write to the Gentiles to keep them in, and you write to the Jews to teach them how to live in.
All right.
Amen? Amen? So James begins his book talking about what we're pretty much going through today. It's not easy being a Christian in today's world. Everything that used to be wrong is right. Okay, everything that used to be talked about don't get talked about no more. Everything's becoming okay. We're almost to the point where we don't have to 1 John 1:9, nothing. We just accept it and say that's just the way life is. But no, that is not the way life is. Jesus expects us to be the salt. He expects us to be the light in a dark world. He expects us to make this world more palatable, or make his word or his relationship with them more palatable, okay? And give it seasoning, give it flavor. So James begins his conversation talking about endurance. Amen. The Bible says those who endure, Jesus says the love of many will grow cold because of the times that we're living in. You'll find that in Matthew chapter 24. He says the love of many, many Christians, many followers of Christ in the last and terrible days, amen, in these last and terrible days in which we're living, he says the love of many will grow cold when evil is on the rise and it like it's no check to it, it's uncontrolled. It's just doing what it wants to do like God don't even exist. Many Christians' love for Jesus, love for the Lord, will grow cold because of what we see going on. That is why the Lord wrote to us. And see, James is writing to new Jewish Christians who are under persecution from who? Gentiles? No, from Jews. The same Jews that chased Paul around from town to town when he was on his first missionary journey are the same Jews that's going after the Jews who have accepted Christ. So long, you can see the argument that's happening. Paul come off his 3-year missionary journey, and what happens? He run right into these Jews from who church? James church. So you see the importance of James writing his letter. These folks have come from his church, going to Galatia, to the provinces of Galatia, and telling these people what they told you is not right. So James has to write to straighten this out. This is what we, and now everybody going to respect James. Why are they going to respect James? Because he is called James the Just. And he is called that because of his strict adherence to Judaism. But now his brother Jesus then got to him. And he's become a servant of Jesus Christ, who he no longer views as a stepbrother, okay, but a brother and a savior and a Lord. He is able to look. Jesus would say, don't let my humanity mess you up. Amen. His brothers got messed up by his humanity. A lot of the folks got messed up by his humanity. He would tell his disciples not to be offended by my humanity. In other words, the fact that I got a human body just like yours, the fact that I go through things just like you do, don't let that fool you. Don't let that twist you up and make you think I ain't Jesus. I am Jesus. I do what God tells me to do. I go where God tells me to go. I say what God tells me to say. That is Jesus in a nutshell. He came here and wrapped himself up in human flesh just like ours. And he didn't live this thing miraculously. He lived it like we have to live it. He lived according to the dictates of the Holy Spirit. Who, when Jesus got baptized, who was leading him? The Holy Spirit. The Bible says, and the Spirit led him where? To the wilderness. Jesus had to endure temptation in the wilderness. He had to put up with temptation in the wilderness. Just like when we get saved, Satan comes to pull us out. He wants us to be the sheep who have strayed away. Don't come to church no more. Don't go to Bible class no more. We're still in the body of Christ, but we've strayed away from the teaching. We've strayed away from the preaching. We've strayed away from the fellowship. That's what Satan wants us to be, a sheep that strayed away. Then he wants us to be a coin that's in the house, church every Sunday, but lost. A lost coin still has its value, but it's useless to the owner. Why? It's lost. You can't spend a dollar, Marcus, you can't find. If you lost that five, you can't spend that five. Not 1 cent of that $5 is lost in value because it's lost, right? But it's useless because it can't be put in. It can't be used as a means of exchange, right? So it's useless. Then the devil wants us to be the one who think we done learned enough to walk away from Jesus and ain't got to go to church no more. There's a lot of them on Facebook. There's a lot of them on Facebook, and you can ask the question one way and you get a million people attacking you. All you got to do is post Hebrews and say, Jesus said we're supposed to go. And they'll pop up, I can worship Jesus at my own house. I say, okay, I've showed you a million scriptures say we got to go to church. Show me one to say we don't.
Come on now. Come on.
Amen. So Jesus wants us to be the one that knows what it's like in the Father's house. We've tasted it and then walked away from it. You know, it's hard for that kind of person to come back. I think Jude addressed that. How can you taste and see that the Lord is good and walk away? How can that person be brought back? What you going to say to them? They was here. They already know how good he is. And they walked away. Amen. So Satan uses trials and tribulations and troubles to drive us from Jesus. He makes us ask the question, if Jesus is so good and loves me so much, then why am I going through all this? I don't know how we missed the garden deal. When we fell into sin, it all started. Adam and Eve went straight crazy. Could they love each other no more? Adam looked at Eve when he first saw her, he was like, whoa, man. You know, and that's how she got her name, right? But after the fall, it's like the woman. Right. All of a sudden, he know her name. It ain't, whoa, man. Now it's that woman you gave me. Blame God and the woman. And then Eve was, he wasn't dumb. She was like that snake you made. Adam told me you called him snake, so his name's snake. He fooled me, and that's why I ate. Amen. So Satan is going to attack. As soon as God plants a word in us, he's coming to snatch that word out. He's coming to steal that word. He don't want that seed to be planted. He don't want that seed to take hold. And he definitely don't want it to grow. Because when we do what Ephesians chapter 4 talks about, when we mature in the faith, Amen. Now we can endure. We can endure hardship like Peter tells us, endure hardship like a good soldier. I joined the Navy. I know what it's like to endure, to get through without getting kicked out or quitting. Made it through boot camp. And I didn't just make it through. I somehow managed to thrive in boot camp. And I wasn't even saved. I didn't get saved till the next year. Okay? But I thrived in boot camp. My company commander, who looked like my father, about the same height, he said, "Crap rolls downhill." And then he walked away. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm at the bottom of the hill.
Right.
So I'm about to catch a whole lot of amen. So what did I do? I started finding out how to make rank. Amen. How do I go from S1 or E1 to E2 even before I get to my ship? When I got to my ship in Hawaii, I was stationed at Pearl Harbor. When I got there, I went straight to my CEO, the person right over me, and asked them, how do I get to school to get to be E2? Yeah. And I went straight to school and made E2 long before anybody else did. And why did I do that? Because on the ship, they assign you in boot camp according to whatever you think you're special at, right? I got put in the fire department. That means I worked on motors and stuff like that. Stuff like that, right? And that made me the crew leader. Why? I was the only E2. By default. The rest of them is S1s. Or worse than that, SRs. Seamen recruits. They ain't made no rank. My job was from, I get up at 7 and then go to quarters where they inspect you. Okay? Then go to breakfast. Then about 9, put everybody to work. And then just wait till about 1. Go to the galley and get me some free lunch. Hit the town, because we was on tropical working hours from 7 to 1. Praise God. But I had to endure. It was hot in Hawaii. I had to endure. There was a little girl over there. I had to endure. We went to Seaside Stone and Tower of Power. But I had to endure. It was traffic out there. Amen. Praise the Lord. I got through, though. I got through. Amen. But I was saved, unsaved, right? So what James is talking to these Jews about, because they're under persecution. They're being persecuted by their own brethren. And so he says, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Notice he didn't say be happy. He did not say be happy. Right? Because to be happy, you have to have something happening that makes you happy. But James said, count it all joy. That is one of the first fruits, one of the first of the three fruits the Holy Spirit wants to produce in that: love, joy, and peace. So he says, count it all joy. Okay? In other words, look at this as God getting ready to give you the bless up. Amen. Amen. See, Paul knew how to count it all joy. When they got locked up in the Philippian jail, what did they do? They sang praises to God at midnight. The day Dr. Tony Evans was talking about the evil day. The evil day ain't a bad day. The evil day ain't some day when somebody get on your nerves. The evil day is when all hell breaks loose on you in one day. When Satan launches his attack that is supposed to destroy you, take you all the way out. That's the evil day. See, Jesus had to endure the evil day. What was Jesus' evil day? It was Thursday in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was able to look forward and see himself, his skin getting ripped off his body. When he could see his beard, his hair being pulled out. And when he could hear people slapping him in the face and say, prophesy to us, Jesus, who hit you? That was the evil day. That's when Satan shot his move to get Jesus on the cross. That was the evil day. But Jesus was able to withstand the evil day. Because James said, count it all joy when these things come. Because they teach you what? Endurance. Look, we in this world, and this world is evil. And it's getting eviler er. Amen. You can go ahead and throw another er on there and you wouldn't be too far off. There are just wickednesses everywhere. But God wants us to shine like bright lights. We are supposed to be the light shining in the what? Darkness. Is it dark today? Yes, it is. What are we supposed to do? Shine brighter. Kick it up. Go over to the dimmer switch and turn that knob. And start shining brighter. You, Paul and them didn't get darker in a dark, dank, dungeonous jail. They got lighter. Their light was shining bright in that jail. And guess what? Everybody in the jail saw the light. And then the jailkeeper who was still in the dark, when he came near Paul and them, he came into the light. Everybody got saved. But what if Paul did like we do? What if he didn't count it all joy? What if he didn't see it as an opportunity to preach Jesus? What if he didn't see that as an opportunity to lift Jesus up? See, God gives us opportunities, but we have to be the kind that can endure. Amen? Here's the problem why we don't endure. He says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to every man liberally, and he will not get angry with you, cross with you, because you ask for wisdom. So what is this wisdom that, I think Proverbs says the beginning of fear of knowledge is the fear of God, the reverence of God. What is that? His word. Wisdom comes from God's word. It teaches us how to navigate through the hard times. When we were in the Navy out there on the sea, and these storms would come up, we couldn't just go back to shore. We were so far out, you couldn't see land nowhere. So how do we navigate our way through this storm? Well, we had been trained how to navigate through a storm. And what did we do? We took that wisdom, we took that knowledge, and we learned how to use it in the storm. Wisdom is knowledge being used correctly, right? It's one thing to have knowledge, and that's good. But what if you don't know how to use it? What if you don't know? A lot of folks got tools, right? But I've had people around me when I'm working on the car, and I say, hand me that half-inch wrench. They come over there with a hammer. They have a knowledge of tools, right? But they don't know how to use them. And a whole lot of folk in the church don't know how to correctly use the word of God at the right time. We don't even know how to pray right. That's how we can't get to that place where, amen, we endure. Amen? The Bible says those that endure to the end will be saved. But Jesus is talking to saved people. So what is he talking about? When we apply the word of God to our personal, family, church, and civic life, we endure. Why? Because nothing can, Jesus said it like this. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Amen? I'll show you someone who is wise. This is a person who digs down deep. And they didn't find nothing, so they dug deeper. And they didn't find nothing. They dug deeper, and finally they found the rock. And they uncovered that rock. And then they built their house on top of that rock. Hallelujah. And guess what? The storms came. Yeah. Ain't that something? You get some money in your pocket, and guess what? The storms come. Your car be like, oh, now I can get them brakes. Amen. Oh, now I can get that oil. Oh, now I can get that. Amen. It's like a car that got a brain. So they dug down deep, built that house. Storms came. Guess what? There was a neighbor. They didn't dig down deep. They just built their house right on top of the sand, the easy way. Easy way. Too much trouble, got to open up my Bible and read it. Too much trouble, got to go to Bible class. Too much trouble, got to leave Bible class and then go home and study like the Bereans. Too much trouble. I'll just be saved. But then the storms come. Amen? So the storms came and both houses got hit. Because one was on the rock didn't prevent it from being hit. But guess what? When the storm was over, your boy over here in shambles. But the man who was on the rock, him and his whole family were safe. They weathered the storm like it didn't even happen. Why? Because it was on the rock. So James is saying God's word is the wisdom you need to get through tough times. What was it that got Jesus from that Thursday to that Sunday when he was raised up from the dead with all power in heaven and earth? What got him from there to there? You know what it did? God, knowing he was going to raise in 3 days. What did he tell his own disciples on 3 different occasions? I'm going to Jerusalem. Going to get handed over to sinners, Gentiles. Going to be crucified. But on the 3rd day, I'm raising up. See, when we know what God says, we can see the other end. When the Lord told the children of Israel, Moses, why are you standing here? Get across that Red Sea. He knew right then that they were going across the Red Sea, even though before that he might have been a little shaky. But when he got a word from the Lord, he could see the end. We ought to be happy. We ought to endure. Why? Because we know what the end's going to be. My wife's grandmother, I used to go to prayer meeting with her, and she, at the end of her prayer, she said, Lord, I've come too far to turn around now. Marilyn, she would say, I'm going on to see what the end's going to be. Kept her eye on the prize. We wouldn't even have civil rights if Martin Luther King had let it go, if he didn't learn how to endure. What would Israel have been like, or would Israel be, if Joseph had not endured? Amen. Joseph went through 13 years of it, right? Locked up in a dungeon. Sold out by his brothers. But Joseph had a dream. He had 2 dreams. And those dreams hadn't come to pass yet. He was able to look. You know, there's a man in the Bible named Simeon in Luke chapter 2 and a lady named Anna. Both of them were old, but they was happy. And they lived every day in great expectation. Why? Because God had said something to Simeon, told him, you're not going to die until you see Jesus. So he woke up every day. Every day might have been filled with hell, but he didn't care. He'd look around hell and I'm looking for Jesus. Yeah. If you wake up looking for Jesus every day, all the hell in your life just have to move to the side. Yeah. There's a man named Zacchaeus. Jesus came to town, but he was a little short man. Plus, he was the chief of sinners, the chief tax collector. Super hated. Shouldn't even be out in public. Might get snatched. Because you snatched me last week, and he was the best of the cheaters, Naomi. He cheated so much, he was rich from cheating. He was the chief of cheaters. But Jesus came to his town one day. I once preached a sermon back in the 70s called Overcoming Obstacles to See Jesus. If you fix your mind on God's word, what God said, I tell my wife sometimes, she'll go, and she'll watch this stuff on television, and she'll come running to me talking about these people. And I'll tell you, that's how she come in, Janet. She come in and she'll be like, these people. And okay, that might be a little different than that, a whole lot different. But anyway, hey, that's the way I see it. But Jesus say, tell her, she just told you what they see. Tell her what I see. And so we'll open up the Bible and we'll see what Jesus said. Now, every time she says, people, I say, what did Jesus say? Well, he said, when you see all these things happening, rejoice because your redemption is near. I'm about to come get you. Amen. And I say, well, did it say a nuclear bomb was going to end this church age? He says, no, Jesus is going to rapture the church. See, when you, that's that wisdom. When that wisdom comes, then you can endure this nonsense we're living in and going through. So James tells them, endure. He says, enjoy it. Why? If we believe Romans, what does Romans say in chapter 8? All things what? For the good of those who love God and are called according to his what?
Purpose.
So what does this stuff got to do with you? It's like my mother told me when the day of David, mother and father led me to Christ. My mother came in behind my father, and she, I was telling my father about Nixon going to send black people back to Africa. I wanted to know about that. And then plus, all my teachers in school hated me. I wanted to know about that. Amen. That's why they failed me a lot. Amen. And then, you know, I just had a lot of questions. Those questions I used to ask my father, now I ask Jesus. Amen. I still got a lot of questions. But anyway, when I was on my way upstairs to go fuss at my father, because you can fuss at him upstairs, he couldn't hear, but you go up there and do that to my mother, she said, I heard that. But anyway, I don't know, mama got them ears like, because she would be back there hearing my stuff, and I heard that. But anyway, my mother handed, before she handed me that book to read that I told you about, Come Unto Me, she said, who world is this? I had just learned from my father, it's God's. Amen. I didn't have these answers myself. I got them from him. Whose problems are these that you brought up to your father? I say, God's. And then who's going to fix all these problems? I say, God is. And then I went upstairs and read that book. Amen. You see how they brought me comfort? See how they gave me that wisdom? When I went upstairs, I ain't fussed at my parents. No, Leechus, I didn't. I went upstairs and I read that book and I gave my life to Christ. And then after I started going through it, people got mad because I gave my life to Christ. They started saying, you ain't gave your life to Christ. You ain't no Christian. You ain't no church guy. I'm like, I am. I do believe in Jesus. One guy told me I was crazy because I accepted Christ. And I said back to him, this is when I first got saved that day. And I said back to him, so you don't believe in nothing. And I believe in somebody who made all of this.
Yeah.
But I'm the crazy one. But you believe all this just happened. But I'm the crazy one. Amen. The Lord taught me how to endure. Amen. But the key is, if you're going to endure, you're going to have to know God's word. Because Satan going to come with stuff every single day. Every single day. Don't even think. You might have some, like, I've had a couple of uneventful weeks. I praise God for, thank you, Sarah. I praise God for them. Amen. I don't know what's going on, but I've had a couple of uneventful weeks, and I thank God for that. I know something's coming, because every time he do this, look at Sheila, like, well, it might be coming my way. Amen. Amen. You can hang out there with your foot. Amen. But the key to enduring is knowing what God said. Because Satan going to come up and say, didn't he come up and say to Jesus? But what did Jesus do? The word. He turned with the wisdom that comes from God. He showed us how to do it. If the devil came at Jesus, don't you think you're going to get so holy, he ain't going to come at you. He ain't going. If the devil will try Jesus, I don't know who you think you are. If he'll go up to Jesus, who he knew in heaven as the one who kicked him out, what you think he gonna do to you? Your only hope of being able to endure through his attacks. Did you notice that? It was plural. Attacks. Put an apostrophe on the end of it, right? Amen. I found out. I learned that from Jonathan. He used to say in Jesus' name. I'm like, Jesus, what is that? So I started writing, right? And then when you're supposed to say Jesus, a little thing will pop up at the end. I said, Jesus, what is that? He said, that's Jesus. That's the way he explained it to me. So I know now, Leechus, that's Jesus. Amen. But you have to have God's word, because Satan is going to, look, when Adam and Eve, what did Satan attack Adam and Eve? Did Satan come up and say, is that a giraffe? What is that, a turtle? No, he came up and wanted to talk about that law God made. That's what he came at. He came directly at God's word. If he can get us to move off the word, then we can't endure. And he knows that. We cannot endure his attacks. If we don't have on the armor of God, the things that we're supposed to have on all the time, and those weapons that we take up when we need them, then he's going to come. And see, you've got a word today about endurance. Don't believe Satan ain't going to come and attack you. Now, the last part of this chapter talks about listening and doing. Amen. He says a person who just go to church and hear the word of God, right, but don't go home and apply it to their life, they are listeners, not doers. Amen. That means that when you hear the word of God, God gives you his word, and you understand his word, the next step is apply the word. Other than that, God looks at you like somebody who heard the word but not going to listen. He talked about that earlier. Amen. Previous to this, he said, if you lack wisdom, come to God and ask God. But when you come to God and ask God, make sure that you're not double-minded. In other words, come in faith. Don't come with you and Buddha. Don't come with you and Allah. Don't come with whatever it is you trust outside of God to be God alongside God. Don't come with that, because God says, let that person know they're not getting anything with God. God knows you don't just trust him. God wants to see you like he saw Moses standing there by himself alone, and not any other God or any other person, place, thing, or thought that comes beside God. Trust him. And God knows if you just trust him. In closing, he simply said it in verse 25 like this. Look into the word of God intently. And guess what? That gives freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from stress. Freedom from anxiety. Freedom from high blood pressure. Freedom from strokes, heart attacks, and all of the things that come at us when we don't trust God. All of those things for us are a result of a lack of faith. Our faith gets us through. Even if we have to endure like Paul, who had a problem. We read in Lolo's book, Loretta's book, Colossians. Amen. Paul wrote, and he did the same thing in Galatians. He wrote in large print. Paul had a problem. Some folks believe his eyesight was bad. And he had to endure with that. He went to the Lord three times about that. But the Lord told him, look, I'm not fixing it. My grace is going to have to be sufficient. So he was going to have to live knowing that God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Your problem's not going away, but I'm going to fix you where your problem ain't a problem. Amen. Amen. So he says, look intently into the word of God. Are you looking intently into the word of God? When you leave here today, will your Bible get open before you get back here next Sunday? Yeah. Will you go to Bible class? Yeah. Will you go to church school? Yeah. Will you attend the women's Bible class on Saturday? No. Church folks is too honest sometimes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus. You're supposed to say, wow. Just, and then that way people don't know what's up, right? They'd be like, Pastor, oh, you going to church next Sunday? Ow. So when you don't see me, you say, I thought you said, I didn't say I was going to church. I said, ow. And my time is up. Amen. As I go to my seat, because I've used up all my time, I yield back the balance of my time. He says, look intently into the word of God. Do what it says. Don't forget what you read. Then you'll be blessed in what you do. You'll be able to endure. Amen? Now next week, if you want to know what the sermon is about, read James chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What's up, play guy? No.
No, I think I'm okay. I'm good. How are you today, Elvira? All right. Good morning. Thank you guys that endured this snow this morning. I didn't know it was coming. So thank you for coming. Always check the back table. You see what information's back there. We usually have the questions for the Bible class. Nicole will be
teaching, and we have the upper room books back there. The daily devotional books are also available. And don't forget Cat show today at 4 p.m. Bringing back the neighborhood. She focuses on the neighborhoods and the kids. What can we do? If we just do one kid at a time, one household at a time, but that's what we focus on. Don't forget the free credit reports is still going to be available to the end of April. So I'm going to say it every Sunday. So you can get all three of your credit reports for free once a week to the end of April. I don't know if they're going to extend it. Have you heard anything about Nicole? If they're going to extend it, that's going to be it, because it's been like over a year. Yeah. So, and then also, don't forget to check the site for Michigan Unclaimed Property. That's if you like a lot of new companies, insurance companies, telephone bills, anything. Check the Michigan Unclaimed Property. Put your name in there. You can put a city or just put your name in there, because sometimes we've moved around. And it may not be that one city. It could be a whole bunch of different things. And money pops up that, you know, you haven't checked it every few months, because sometimes your name will pop up a couple times. And for those of us that have lived out of state or different states, there's another site that's called missingmoney.com. You go in, you select the state, and then you put in your name just like Michigan, and it'll pop up if you got money. So those are two sites to remember to check. Please continue to pray for Anita Chambers on the passing of her dad. Continue to pray for Mother Irma. She's still in rehab, right? She's still in rehab. Pray, give a call. Pray for Keela. They say she's in the hospital, so please pray for her. Also, we had an update that Doris is doing better, but she's still in the hospital.
Okay,
so she's home. So pray for her and Nakia. Also, continue to pray for Cheryl and Tyrone. Cheryl, who's the caregiver, okay? Alrighty. So, a couple of different things, just a quick check. My fault, I didn't get the information over to Pastor soon enough, but I got it over to him early this morning. So he's going to be posting all the new things on there that I've missed and stuff I added about jobs, scholarships, and everything. He'll post it when you get an opportunity. One of the sites I just want you to remember to always check is go on to Michigan South Works. That lists everything for like the Downriver area. I get a lot of my information from them about jobs and scholarships, training, and all that stuff. Help with your rent and all that things. They post a lot of stuff. Also, Wayne Metro Pro, go out there, check them if you need help with different things. They have a lot of programs. And like Crystal said, now things that the state used to do, they don't do anymore. You have to go through Wayne Metro for assistance. I know that the Big Three is still hiring. I have someone that I know, Ford Rossinville plant is specifically hiring. They have three shifts. So I don't know, when you walk into the site, if you can just pick a plant or whatever. But you need to go to Ford.com because they're hiring. And remember, these are union jobs. You get a paycheck every week. That's something to remember. I just went out to yesterday, USAjobs.com. Those are your federal jobs. Those are federal retirements, federal opportunities. Just for the state of Michigan, over 800 jobs posted. For Detroit, Michigan, non-military jobs, it's over 100 jobs. And if you're military, it's more. So when you section out, there's filters on it. Go out there and check. And one thing about them, they're very transparent. They're going to tell you what your salary is, where you're going to be at, if it's at home or whatever. So that's usajobs.com. And the last thing, be on the lookout. Michigan is refunding us $400. And this is related to the catastrophic car insurance. They got so much money. They're giving us back our money, which is our money. It should be more than $400, but we'll take the $400. So it's for cars, RVs, and motorcycles. So any car that you had insured on October 31st, 21 at 11:59 p.m., you will get a refund. So if you have 5 cars and 3 motorcycles, that's a check for each one. So they, in the state of Michigan, if you file Michigan taxes, it's going straight into your account. If you didn't file or they don't have your, they're going to send to your last address. So hopefully you're still there or you'll have to go through all that. So Michigan has gave all the insurance company a deadline. So the insurer, they said that the checks just start going out this week and that has to be completed by May 9th. So some companies may drag their feet and some may not. So just be on the lookout for that and I'll try to just do those reminders. Alrighty, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, for those of you who are definitely interested, Doris, we did, she was in class yesterday in the ladies' Bible class, so Doris is doing better. She does thank you for your prayers, and she says hello to everybody. Don't forget our college students, Alana, Deandra, Jalen, Micaiah, and others, Robin. She working too on top of it. Don't forget our young parents, these young mothers and fathers. We want them to be better so these systems will stop being overloaded. Don't forget to pray for one another. It's good to see you. Y'all remember how to drive and this stuff out there, so be careful. What else? Jonathan's going to come at the end and give us a announcement and slash benediction. But before that, stand to your feet. They're not going to notice that you were here today. Not just by us, the Lord knows. Pray for one another.
Love him, lift your hands and pray.
Jackson is coming. Amir turned 18 this past Monday. Marcus had a birthday on the 10th back there. So we had half a belated birthday. And Micaiah turned 20 on Friday. So these kids getting old. Amen.
Terrible. Good morning.
Good morning.
Just I come on behalf of the Finance Committee and Pastor O as well. It's come to my attention that folks have been going to him saying what they've been putting in different ministries and whatnot. And technically, per paperwork, the pastor is not directly involved in financial matters. That's why there's a committee. That's why pastor don't have a race truck courtesy of the church, because he can't just use it as his personal bank account. So just a reminder that whenever you give, whether it's bondage breakers, running for Christ, whatever it is, that's technically between you and the Lord. So please don't go to pastor saying, hey, I gave this to bondage breakers, or I gave this to gleaners. He does not need to be directly involved in the financial matters of running for Christ ministries. So I'm not fussing, I'm just a housekeeping situation where I want you to get what you got coming from the Lord based upon what's between you and the Lord. He does not directly, and I know we have an approachable pastor, and that's fine, but he is not supposed to be directly involved in the finances. And I want you and myself to get the blessings. When we deal with finances, we tally and we put it in the bank, and everything is transparent. We got reports, but he is not directly involved in that. Okay? So the benediction, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 22 says, "How great you are, O sovereign Lord. There is no one like you. We have never even heard of another God like you." Go in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace, my brother.